empowered by lay-driven leadership, connecting lay ministries and business people to share Christ in the marketplace in support of the mission of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. I want to welcome our virtual ASI audience, as well as all of those who are listening here in America and around the world. We recognize that we have a worldwide audience, and we are thrilled that you've chosen to join us today. As you know, this is our ASI Spring Chapter Conference, and those occur during the springtime, but due to the pandemic, we are here at 3ABN, and I want to give a special thank you to 3ABN for being so gracious. And when I say gracious, I mean, I wish I had a different word. They've been amazing at welcoming us and making us feel part of their family. And this morning, we want to continue our programming. God is good. We have been blessed since Thursday evening with special messages, music, and members in action. As you know, ASI is an organization of people committed to Jesus Christ. Business people, professionals, ministries, all of us working together to hasten the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, we are going to be having an amazing program with members in action. We're going to hear from Elder Ted Wilson. We are also going to hear from Dan Houghton and his team on a special project on the Three Angels' messages. As you know, our theme is the Three Angels' messages in times like these. In fact, in our summer program, we're going to continue that theme. And we pray that as you listen with us, your hearts will be touched and you will be blessed. And right now, we're going to go to a special feature with Dan Houghton from Heart Research. Dan, are you standing by?
I am here. Thank you.
Wonderful,
Andy,
Dan.
And good to our ASI family.
Welcome. I'm so thrilled that you've joined us, Dan.
We're delighted to be here, Andy, and I want to introduce the rest of our team. Dr. Sandy Duran is with us. She's been on our team at Heart Research Center working in curriculum development. And Dr. Arnie Nielsen, the Vice President for the North American Division. We're delighted to make a little presentation this morning. And I just want to say that if we can go to the graphics, I would love to just let you all know that we have been working on this Three Angels Message project now for over two and a half years. And if you remember, as I pointed out last night, that we actually started working a year ago, let me go to the next graphic now, 2 years ago to put up a set of posters in every single Adventist classroom around North America. And if we can go to the next slide, couple slides, let's move the slide along, if you would. I need to show the posters and the fact that we are actually very much involved, and we go to the next slide beyond that one. We were at the teachers' convention. We shared all these posters. One of the things that happened there is we decided we wanted to empower kids to share the Three Angels' messages, and that came from a process where our friend Rusty McGee, and along with his friend and my friend Brad Colson, we began talking about 2.5 years ago, what can we do for kids? And after we did the posters, we said, hey, we want to get into a curriculum. And Andy has been working on this for almost 11 months now. He's been on and off with these things. And I just wanted to have Sandy take us to the next step. If I can get the slides to move forward here now, I need to get to the point where we're talking about the curriculum. And one more slide. Okay, we want to talk about the curriculum, and Sandy, I'd like to just invite you to pick up right here and share with us what you've been doing about getting curriculum for grades K through 12 for our Adventist education.
Okay, I'm just so delighted that I was honored to be part of this project. And you know, the purpose of this project is to help our Seventh-day Adventist students to know that as Seventh-day Adventists, there's something distinct, there's something special about our faith, and to empower them to want to share their faith. You know, when I was first asked to do this project, I thought, I don't know if this is something I can do. How can I package the three angels' messages for children? And as I prayed about it, one evening I went to bed thinking, should I accept this assignment or not? And that I just want to show you how God has worked, because that evening, as I was sleeping, I woke up and there was a poem in my head. And I got up and the next morning I wrote it down. And that became my sign from God that I was meant to be part of this project, that he gave this. It's really, I felt like it was such a blessing. And so that became our, what we call our anchor text for kindergarten through grade two. We have created units, 2-week units for our educational system for our Seventh-day Adventist schools, and starting in kindergarten with a very, very broad brush so they can understand the concepts of the three angels' messages and getting a lot more detailed as we go on. And so if you want to take a look, yeah, here's, you guys are getting a sneak peek because we're so excited with our artwork. We have a young Adventist couple in Brazil who is doing our watercolors for us. And so you can see, ready, let's begin the story. First angel, give God the glory. He's always fair and good and true. He'll do what's right for me and you. So what is that? That's the judgment for kindergartners. You see, we're laying the groundwork for these students. And we did pilot this curriculum. And I can tell you, even a little pre-K boy can tell you now what the three angels' messages are. If you ask him what's the first message, he'll say he's always kind of good and true. He'll do what's right for me and you. And then he'll tell you, he made the earth and outer space. Now go and tell in every place. And the students are doing their own artwork to go along with it. So they have their own three angels' messages books. So I just want you to know that it's working and the students are really catching on. For third and fourth grade, we have a little different take. We have a story book for third and fourth graders that I actually wrote on three different reading levels. Why did I do that? Because we want these students to access the material. We don't want anyone to remember this as a time that it was hard and I struggled and I really didn't understand the book. So I kind of felt like God blessed me with this thought that when I wrote the little book for them, I rewrote it on a lower reading level and on a higher reading level. So every student has access to the same material. And in the third and fourth grade book, it's a story about a little girl by the name of Beth. And she starts out going to school and she's sad and you don't quite know why. And she's embarrassed. She doesn't want to get out of the car. And then you find out that her poster for the science fair the day before blew away and got all muddy. And she kind of was crying in front of her classmates and embarrassed. And somehow this all gets tied into the three angels' messages, because the next day when she goes into class, she finds out that her classmates have actually cleaned up the poster for her. And the teacher then segues into the judgment and how Christ will, it's not about us and our feeble attempt, but how Christ will clear things up for us. And then the little girl says, okay, that's good, but I missed the science fair. And the teacher says, actually, no, you didn't miss the science fair. You copied down wrong. It's not the third, it's the fifth. And the teacher says, isn't that interesting? She's tying in again. Because now when we look at the early Adventist believers, they had a little inaccuracy there. So everything ties in. And just to show you how God has worked so much through this project, I started thinking, you know, my husband is a pastor, and 30 years ago, my husband had a church member who was a police officer who had some real Sabbath problems. And again, in the night, I thought, if I had that information, I could share that information through, I could look at that and write a chapter and have this little girl's dad having a Sabbath problem. But I thought, how am I ever going to find it? That was 30 years ago. The next morning, I said to my husband, remember that police officer 30 years ago that had a Sabbath problem in your congregation in Connecticut? And he looked at me like his jaw was on the ground. And I said, why are you looking at me like that? He said, I haven't thought about that in 30 years. He said, Sandy, yesterday I found that file. He said, I can get that for you right now. He came out with a file this thick. I spread the paper all over the dining room table. And I wrote a chapter in that book about the little girl whose dad had a Sabbath problem based on an actual case. And then we were able to get into religious oppression and all of that with the second angel's message. So God has been blessing the project. Fifth and sixth grade, again, we get a little deeper. Now they have to be able to write. They have to be able to really think critically. Again, I prayed, Lord, how do I help them with that? And I began writing essays that the students then have to read and respond to in writing. And 25 years ago, I was in Russia, and I met a woman, a Seventh-day Adventist woman by the name of Natasha. She was actually the one who asked me to come to Russia. And I interviewed her on the subway in Moscow. And I thought, oh, if I could only have those notes, I could write an essay about how she faced religious oppression as a young girl, as a young Seventh-day Adventist in those dark days of Russia. But how am I ever going to find those notes for 25 years ago? God led me right to those notes. Within 5 minutes, I had the notes. I was writing the essay. So again, he's blessing the project. And as kids go through in a way that is developmentally appropriate, they know the three angels' messages at the end with a positive. They know that this is a God of love about to intervene for humanity. And that's our goal. Grade 7 and 8, we have one more slide we can show you for grade 7 and 8. We have an interactive notebook, and we're excited. We have an artist who designed our cover. You know, brain research shows us that the left brain is detail work. The right brain is where we make it our own and we personalize. And so that's how this interactive notebook is set up, as we teach them much more deeply now about religious oppression, about this dangerous balance of church and state. They use these notebooks to have their notes on the left side very detailed, and they respond on the right. So we know now that it won't just fall out of their short-term memory, and they'll have something lasting to take with them. And this is coordinated with their history books in grade 7 and 8. We tell them, look, we're not making this stuff up. And I personally went through the U.S. history book and the world history book, and I could not believe the list I had of what happens when you mix church and state. So it's all there. It's all there historically. We don't have to go to any other trouble but to tell them, look in your history book. You know, it's the big ones coming, because here's all the evidences of it right here. Then what happens in high school? If we've taught them all about this in elementary and they're good to go, what happens in high school? This is where we do our deep dives, we call it, and we have various units that the high school teachers can select from. We had one that was going to be piloted, and because of COVID-19, it was piloted online. The students loved it. They responded very, very well. So here's our micro units. The first, Angel's Call to Identity. We talk about how once you understand that God is the judge, you can stop judging other people. You can stop judging yourself. Put your eyes on Jesus and keep your head high and walk forward and keep the focus on him. We have the first angel's call to worship. I cannot believe the new studies that are coming out that are talking about there has to be intelligent design. And if there's intelligent design, there's a creator, and we need to worship him. We have the second angel's call to liberty, which is the one that was piloted online, and it talks about very current religious liberty cases that are happening right now. I used some of the research from our own Seventh-day Adventist Religious Liberty Department. Great stuff going on there. Third angel's call to action. That's talking about having your own voice and speaking up and not following the crowd. And then finally, we have the three angels and Bible prophecy, and that's your old-time evangelistic meeting as a two-week unit on the three angels' messages, everything we can get into those 2 weeks. So that's what's coming for our Seventh-day Adventist schools, and again, I'm just honored to be part of the project.
Thank you, Sandy. And at this time, I want to invite Arnie Nielsen to give a response about how North America is anticipating this.
Well, thank you so much, Dan and Sandy and the Heart Research Center for developing the Three Angels Messages curriculum and then providing it to the North American Division Department of Education. This will become an invaluable resource for both of our students and teachers. And we're also thankful that it was developed for both elementary and secondary. Just last week, our key leaders in education reviewed this contemporary curriculum And it was voted to adopt it for this next school year. And so we're excited about that. And in so doing, they noted several things. First, it honors what Sister White speaks to in the book Education, when she says that true education is to train young people to be thinkers and not mere reflectors of other people's thoughts. And so I really like that our young people are now provided the opportunity for critical thinking, for personal reflection, and then an opportunity to share what they have learned as disciple makers. Also, the Three Angels curriculum enhances our robust Encounter Bible curriculum. It provides an in-depth discovery of what the Bible teaches and how it impacts our students' lives today. And then lastly, there's also significant crossover value. This curriculum can be used to support other subjects like history, English, and science. And so we're thankful for this continued partnership and collaboration. And once again, it also supports something else that we've learned in the book Education. And that is when Sister White tells us that the watchword of education is something better. And we trust this curriculum will honor its desired outcome. Thanks again.
Thank you, Arnie. And Andy, we'll send it back to you.
Thank you very much, Dan. That was engaging, and what a blessing to our educational system. At this time, another special feature for our ASI family that the WEMA Institute did for us, another song, All the Way My Savior Leads Me.
Father's house above, where
special thank you to Wimar for blessing us with that beautiful number. Now we'll go to a live interview with our really warm and friendly host, 3ABN. Steve Dickman will be interviewing Jill and Greg Morricone at this time.
It's good to be here today. And we're excited because of what's happening with this partnership between ASI and 3ABN. We wanted to take just a few moments, though, to talk directly with you here at 3ABN and just kind of explore some of the history and some of the current things that are happening and maybe what's in the future even. And so thank you for joining us here today. It feels odd interviewing 3ABN on 3ABN, but we're excited to be here and do that. Now, we just heard this project. We heard about this project, Dan Houghton and Arnie Nelson and Sandra sharing what's happening with the 3ABN curriculum, or the Three Angels curriculum, rather. And but I know there's another part to that that is also kind of come before that and working with Mark Finley and stuff. Tell us a little bit about that and what part 3ABN is playing.
So just, yeah, I have to say we're thankful to be here. I mean, it's a blessing, the partnership between ASI and 3ABN. I mean, it's been strong for multiple years. I think it was in 1985
exactly.
When Danny Shelton was in Big Sky, Montana, and he presented the dream of 3ABN. And so that partnership between 3ABN and ASI has been strong through the years. And when I think about partnership, you know, I think about entities working together, organizations working together. And I am encouraged, I have to say this, Pastor Steve, you know, you're the president of ASI, and to see the direction that ASI is currently taken and has taken, and that's to spread the gospel around the world. And I think 3ABN, that partnership, is not only airing the ASIs like in August that usually takes place, but actually there's all the ministries that ASI represents. 3ABN can be an avenue that ASI can help spread the gospel around the world, share about projects that are going on. And one of those that you just mentioned is the Three Cosmic Messages. And Pastor Mark Finley was here, what, 2 months ago, maybe?
It was right before everything shut down
for COVID.
So it was right before. They got out just in the nick of time,
praise
you
can
say. But yes. We're so blessed. Pastor Mark Finley, of course, is an incredibly anointed student of the Word and preacher. And the Three Cosmic Messages is a collaboration between Heart Research Center, 3ABN, and of course, Pastor Mark Finley, ASI, all of that. So we're so excited for this 13-part series, specifically on the Three Angels' Messages and all of the dynamics and other components that will be put together with that. So very excited about that.
And this is just the power of media. Sorry, Pastor Steve. That on this very floor, see the black floor, the LED walls behind us. Pastor Mark Finley was right here sharing the gospel message that will be aired very soon on 3ABN, of course, Heart Research as well.
So we have this unique collaboration that happens, and we have a little history together since 1985.
Yes, that's
right. We praise God for all those things. Just what is the current situation? I know that Three Angels Broadcasting Network has a mission. Tell us about the mission and the reach of Three Angels Broadcasting Network right now.
Yeah, we both can comment on that. But yeah, it's incredible because 3ABN reaches the entire world. And of course, it started out with satellite dishes, those giant 10-foot dishes that we used to have to install. We no longer use those type of large dishes to receive 3ABN. But 3ABN, where we're really seeing the reach, is through the internet. And so right now with COVID, of course, things are shut down and a lot of people are homebound. That's why ASI is doing this virtual conference.
Exactly.
Right, Pastor? And so what we're noticing is that the internet is something very powerful. One of the things is that there's search engines, they call it. So that's what's incredible about 3ABN and people being able to search, put in keywords, and they could put anything in. What's happening? Does God love me? Where end times, prophecy, things like that. And so we're finding that people are coming across 3ABN because of the search and the power of the internet. Now, we've seen an incredible increase. Let's take YouTube, for instance, or Roku. Mm-hmm. Roku, we've had how many millions of minutes?
In the last month, so that's just 28 days. In the last month,
because of COVID,
there's 5 million hours of 3ABN.
Wow.
Just in the last month, and that's on Roku. As Greg mentioned, there's this demographic shift, you could say. We used to, everyone watched on television. Everyone watched their favorite show, and they would make sure they'd get it at their certain time. Now everything's shifting internet-driven. I don't have my cell phone here, but people watch on their phones, on the apps. People want on-demand programming. Of course, YouTube we have on demand. We're just in the process of working to launch on-demand programming for video on demand because so many people want to access that way.
And they want want it on their schedule, not your schedule.
That's right.
So that's one thing that 3ABN is working on, like Jill said, because we have our apps, our 3ABN apps on the like your cell phone, like Jill mentioned. But you can watch our live stream, but you can't get video on demand. The only way to get video on demand right now is on YouTube. So what 3ABN is investing into is the video on demand on your phone app, on Roku, things like that, Amazon Fire.
It's just exciting to see what God continues to do.
That's right.
Technology is amazing when it works. And it's
when it works.
You have to put that little caveat in there because sometimes it seems like things are against us. But technology is an amazing way to get the gospel into the world. And
absolutely.
So we appreciate this partnership with 3ABN. Now, I want to just ask you more on a personal level, though. What is it that motivates you to keep on doing this? I mean, this is not an easy kind of work. There's a lot of stress and strain in live TV programs going on and all this kind of thing and reaching around the world and all these new avenues, potential distributions through the internet and different things. And you got to kind of stay on top of this and stay on the front edge. Why do you get up and do this anyway?
A letter crossed my desk last week, a woman writing in. Beginning, she said, Jill, I want to find Jesus. That's why we get up every morning. That's why we do what we do. We have an amazing team here at 3ABN, but that's why we're committed to share the gospel, because people write in, people finding Jesus, learning about the Sabbath, people's lives being changed for eternity. That's why this ministry exists, and that's why we keep going.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I echo the same as what Jill just said, because it's the people. Mm-hmm. It's because of you. It's because of ministries such as ASI that's making a difference in the world. And I think it's souls. Jill mentioned the letter. I received an email from Joseph just a couple of weeks ago, donated the first time $5 to 3ABN. I reached out to him, and he said he stumbled across, which we believe is divine providence, across 3ABN on a search on Google looking for a keyword, came across 3ABN. He's being blessed, and he's searching for truth.
Thank you so much, Greg and Jill. Appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
Thank you.
God bless the ministry of 3ABN. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Pastor Stephen, for the support.
At this time, we are going to be looking at another pre-recorded Members in Action segment. As I work with Light Ministry, I have the opportunity of traveling around the world. I've been to several remote areas, but nothing like Kibidula Farms. It is way out in the middle of nowhere in Tanzania, but from this outpost center, they are doing an amazing ministry. Bible workers are continuing to go out into the areas sharing the love of Jesus Christ, and it is so encouraging to see everything that is happening from this faith-based organization there in the heart of Tanzania. So at this time, we're going to watch a pre-recorded segment that's going to inspire you.
Hello, Jason and Antoinette from Kibidula, Tanzania, Africa. Welcome to ASI. We're so thrilled that you've joined us today. And I just want to welcome you to this program. I want to first begin by mentioning something that you mentioned to me, Jason, when we talked to you about this interview. Your ministry there in Kibidula has been impacted by COVID-19. Tell us a little bit about how that has impacted your ministry.
Well, the government has shut down most of everything that has to do with the public. So we, our schools are shut down. Our church has been highly restricted. Everything we do that's missionary-wise seems to be on hold right now. We're still continuing with farming, but as missionaries, we just feel like, yeah, things are on hold and we're waiting for things to open up again.
All right, Antoinette, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's very strange just to be farmers right now, and our students are texting and calling and saying, Mama, we want to come back to school. And I say, well, we just have to wait until they make the announcement to let you come back.
All right. Well, that's too bad, but we'll pray about that. And let us go back. You've sent us some beautiful slides of Tanzania and Kibidula there. Tell us a little bit about your ministry. Tell us how it started and just walk us through the process there at Kibidula, what your ministry is about, etc.
Well, Kibidula started, you know, in the late 80s, and we're a self-supporting institution mission. We opened up clinic and outreach programs and education programs, but we've always been very dependent on donor support to keep everything going. And yet we're sitting on a big farm here that's a beautiful piece of property, and it's been hard to get anything productive going.
Okay,
except that we noticed in our gardens.
We're going to show some of the slides of your ministry, the beginning of it, if we can show some of those slides. So you can see the slides. Just walk us through these slides. We'll go through them quite quickly.
So this is Jason's team, direct team that he works with for the avocados. Underneath all of these people are hundreds of people that are being employed from the surrounding villages. So this is a very exciting program, also bringing employment to the local communities.
Amen.
We started in the back of a pickup selling few avocados. We noticed that our avocados tasted very good. The market showed that they were superior, and so we started putting a lot of energy into planting more and more trees. And, you know, eventually a donor, we got his attention, or he noticed what was going on and started helping. And so at this point now, we have about 45,000 trees planted.
Praise the Lord.
All with the idea of supporting mission.
ASI has supported Kibidula for many years, and it has always been our desire that we can eventually also give a helping hand to other places who contact us for help and nurturing, just like ASI has helped us. So every seedling that we sell, and we do sell thousands of them, is towards helping ourselves here maintain our programs and also to help other young ministries.
The picture you see now is our greenhouses, where we do produce actually hundreds of thousands of seedlings that go out and support small farmers, and the income helps support Kibidula mission.
Amen.
This is one of the few orchards, the nurseries that we have. We have to keep moving the nurseries around to prevent disease. There's several thousand just in that right. One area.
Yeah, like 100,000.
Great.
We have our pack house building, which is almost complete. We've actually set up equipment inside that can now pack fruit, and we're hoping to open the doors for that building in July.
So you'll see that we now have electricity at this pack house, and it's actually a very, very interesting story behind this, how God used two strangers to connect us to the Minister of Energy and the government at a late night visit in the city, and we got electricity, and we can only praise God for that.
Amen. And those avocados look absolutely beautiful. Now, I want to go quickly to the last two slides where you have the purpose of the ministry with the children in the school. Tell us a little bit about the children in the school, and if there are any stories, we have 2 minutes left. Tell us a little bit about these next two slides. So the children, and then the next slide, which will be the ministry.
Many years ago, we noticed that our children have to go to school before the age of 6, and a lot of Adventist parents were very concerned. Children have to walk far, and so we started a little primary school, English medium, and then later years, as we noticed also, there's a lot of vulnerable youth in the villages with not much to do because they've either failed primary school or they failed the early years of secondary school. And with the help of Reach Switzerland and other donors, we were able to start this free agriculture training program for 3 years for these vulnerable young people. And, you know, we're not able to change anyone's lives, but we have many students who do give their lives to Jesus while they're here. And we pray that as they leave here, that their lives are forever changed.
Amen.
Also, we have a evangelism school which supports or trains Bible workers or lay pastors that go out to unentered areas and spread the gospel there. And, you know, the whole reason for growing all these avocados is not so we can get rich or something. It's to support God's work and to spread the gospel. And so we're just happy, excited to be part of this work in this part of the world and seeing hundreds of people actually going out empowered, trained, and able to spread the gospel all over Tanzania.
So to sum Kibidula up, it's about education for eternity, and every avocado that helps us get there is why we're doing what we're doing. And we want to thank everyone who's helped us to do this.
Amen. Tell us very quickly, the last 30 seconds, how we can pray for you.
We have some needs in our school for more staff to help us teach these young people. We have some challenges with a changing political climate. Please keep us in prayer. We really appreciate all of this.
Amen. Thank you for joining us, and we will indeed pray. And we are thrilled that you're part of our ASI family. And we pray that God will richly continue to bless your ministry. Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed that report about Kibidula Farms. Brings back a few memories. A few years ago, my son was over there, and he had the privilege of working with Jason. He was out there planting avocado trees. And then he went to medical school, and now he's wishing he was still out there planting avocado trees. Anyway, I really appreciate that the Gospel Commission sends us to the ends of the earth, and I appreciate that we have the opportunity to go. And our next Members in Action segment is actually going to be about a unique ministry in terms of going to the world. It's the Center for Online Evangelism, and it's a unique ministry that really is reaching the whole world and performing a unique and special function. So we'll go to that next.
I am so glad that I can be here with my good friend Felicia. Over the past few weeks, we've had an opportunity to have several different webinars together, because at ASI we realize that it's a new world that we live in, and so we have partnered with the Center for Online Evangelism to do several webinars to help our members understand that we have to share the three angels' messages in a new way. So Felicia, we're so glad that you are here with us. Please tell us a little bit about the Center for Online Evangelism.
It's great to be with you and to be participating in the virtual convention. And the Center for Online Evangelism, we are passionate about sharing the gospel, taking it to the ends of the world. We know that that's our commission. Every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every people. And we know that one of the main ways that we're able to do that is through digital means, by using our phones, by using our laptops, by being present on social media and YouTube and having online small groups. And so the Center for Online Evangelism was founded by Ed Wagner, who saw that there was a need for the Adventist presence to be stronger online. We want to ensure that whenever someone Googles who are Seventh-day Adventists, what do they believe, or people who are searching for Bible truth, that they would find reliable content from us. And so we have an amazing team that's constantly working together, that's developing resources, because we want our leaders, we want our members to be trained. We want to work with websites like Adventist.org that we have been for the past few months to make sure that whenever people search for us, that they are finding our content. Because when they find information that's true about us, that really tells our story, they're encouraged to want to participate, to want to come to our church services, to build relationships with us. And that is what the Center for Online Evangelism is all about.
That is fantastic, Felicia. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. Now, in the few minutes that we have, we want to talk about some of the trainings that you have been involved in. So we're going to put a few slides up. And if you can please tell us a little bit about this particular training that you did with the pastors in New Jersey.
Yes, definitely. I enjoyed this training so much. So the New Jersey Conference, they decided that they wanted their leaders to be equipped to be online, because they recognized that they wanted their church to not just be confined to just four walls, but recognize that they could have a greater reach. And so they brought in the Center for Online Evangelism, and we were able to work with 40 plus pastors, giving them hands-on training, letting them know this is what you can do through social media. And we're so excited from that. We had several trainings in New Jersey, but there was one particular church that we went to. After the training, one of the leaders were inspired to start a YouTube channel, and he started creating videos, started from scratch, didn't have any experience, but he began and was talking about prophecy and so forth, and his channel has been growing. And it's just always so great to see when our leaders decide to step out, to expand their mind, step outside of the box, what they're able to accomplish.
Wouldn't it be great if every Seventh-day Adventist church took advantage of the opportunity and we were all on YouTube, not only impacting our communities locally, but also through the digital world? What a blessing that would be. Now, the next one that we're going to go to is in Canada. Tell us a little bit about this training that you did in Canada.
Yes, so the Center for Online Evangelism, even though we're based here in the United States, our work spans the globe, and we were invited to come to Toronto to participate in their youth leaders training. Gary Blanchard from the General Conference was also there, and we were, it was important for us to emphasize to the leaders that digital evangelism, it's crucial for them to let their young people know that they can use their online influence to reach out to their peers, to tell their peers about Jesus. Why? Because it's majority of the online users are young people. And so it was important for youth leaders to be equipped to know about digital evangelism. And it was great to see all these leaders coming together, being curious about how to use these digital tools, because for a long time, it's that idea, it's only for the young people. We don't necessarily want to encourage them to always be online, but now they're seeing a different view and gaining a different perspective that they can encourage young people to be online, but use it in a positive way for Christ.
Amen. Yeah, we definitely want to see more of that happening. Now, let's go quickly to Andrews University. What did you do at Andrews?
So I'm a past student of Andrews University, and so one of the first places I wanted to go to was at Andrews to let my peers know you can be online using social media, but also use it to share the gospel in creative ways, because you never know who it is that you can reach, who it is who can come to Christ by you as a young person using social media and other online means.
Beautiful. Now, the last story is the one that I know that you're really excited about. So tell us what you did in India.
So last November, the Center for Online Evangelism had an amazing opportunity to travel to India. We partnered with the General Conference Youth Department, and we spoke to about 1,000 young people and leaders and encouraged them that they can use online means. And during one of my presentations, someone said, we should call for missionaries that we could get these people. And we had 37 young people come up and commit that they would be online missionaries. And we started working with them for a few weeks to teach them, how do you set up your online platforms? How do you follow up with people? And that has been an amazing work. There have been challenges, but it was just great to see what we were able to accomplish, especially in a country where traditional means of evangelism is not always possible. Now they know that they can do it digitally.
Now, that is beautiful, Felicia. Before we finish, I want for you to tell our viewers how they can get involved. What is the Center for Online Evangelism doing for everyone?
Through ASI's help, we are conducting training for members and for lay people. By visiting our website right now, you can sign up to get information about how you can become a digital missionary, because we want everyone to be able to share the gospel online.
Thank you so much for your time, Felicia.
Thank you.
So the interviews we're having today, some of them were pre-recorded, including the one you just saw with Rodney and Felicia. And now we're going to get to see another pre-recorded interview with Donna McNeilis, and she's going to be interviewing Julia O'Carey. And this is with ASAP, and I'm going to read you what ASAP represents. It's Advocates for Southeast Asians and the Persecuted. So I'm really looking forward to hearing this testimony. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hello, ASI family. Recently, many of us have experienced the frustration of being stuck at home. But what if you had to flee your home right now instead? This is a crisis facing thousands of villagers in Myanmar. A few weeks ago, ASAP church planter Simon Chin was leading Sabbath services at a church in western Chin State when he received a frantic phone call from a missionary in a nearby village. "We have to leave the village right now. I feel like the world is falling apart," he said. Military fighter jets had just bombed the village in retaliation against a rebel group hiding in the area. The next day, the fighter jets targeted Simon's village, killing 8 people and wounding 12. Homes were burning, children were screaming, chaos everywhere. That evening, frightened church members gathered at Simon's house. He led them in worship and gently encouraged them to trust in God. Early the next morning, they set out on foot through the mountains. They walked for 17 hours until they arrived at the displacement camp in the town of Sami. Can you imagine how you would feel if you, your children, and your elderly parents had to make that journey? So far, 3,000 displaced people have fled to Sami. Many others are still trapped in the war zone. With violence and coronavirus fears limiting travel in the region, aid has been slow to arrive. But recently, thanks to God's protection, an ASAP field supervisor and the Myanmar Union Mission President delivered some basic necessities and encouraged the displaced in Sami. I am so inspired by the faith of our church planters under these unimaginable circumstances. Simon told us, "Amid the difficulties, I see mission opportunities. Among the refugees, there are many who are not Christian and have never heard the gospel, and they're discouraged." ASAP Ministries is so grateful for the support and partnership of ASI and its members as we share help and hope of the gospel with unreached and vulnerable people groups. Today, while some of these groups are suffering immensely, God is opening new opportunities to reach them. Would you join me in praying for Simon and more than 600 other ASAP missionaries ministering to precious souls in crisis across the 1040 window? Together, let's seize this moment, because Jesus is coming soon. Now, more than ever, mission matters.
Welcome, Julia. I just want to hear what you're so passionate about with ASAP.
You know, Donna, I am so passionate about ASAP Ministries. First of all, because the ethnic missionaries that we support that are helping the poor, the persecuted, the unreached, refugees in the 1040 window are doing such an amazing job. And these simple people, they just have such a love for the Lord, and they help in real practical ways. Holistic ministry is what it's all about. So we have about 70 schools that reach out to the communities, and we help in other ways like the natural disasters and war and those who are really suffering.
I know you've got some slides that you're going to share with us, and you've got some stories too. Could you tell us a few of your stories along with your pictures?
Yes, Donna, and we do help out here in America with the refugees and the immigrants, as well as across the 1040 window. And what I read in my devotions this morning in John 14 was how Jesus prepared his disciples ahead of time for what was to happen. And, you know, I really see how God's done that for this time with ASAP. And one example is how recently we brought on this young man here in the Lake Union Conference, and he's a Karen from Myanmar, and he developed this whole system over Messenger where Karen youth from all over the North America are on different groups. So they're on a media ministry group, a health group, a music ministry group, a missions group. And, you know, in doing that ahead of time in the last 2 or 3 months, now that this community is hit so hard with the COVID-19, they have a whole system of support where they pray and study the Bible together. It's just so beautiful.
Oh, isn't that exciting? You know, a treat for my husband and I is that we get to watch your video every Friday night. And thank you so much for preparing those videos for our ASI family and for everybody around the world. But you told me about a story that I would like for you to tell us about as we're going to be finishing up our interview.
Yes, it's so exciting what's happening all over the world. But particularly, I want to share how in Southern and Central California, we had this opportunity in February to start a 24/7 TV broadcast, and it's also online. So it goes to 100 million Vietnamese. And this is something that Pastor Isaiah is doing. And the story, Donna, is Pastor Isaiah had this up and running, and he told his church family, let's have a special program on Vietnamese New Year and invite those who are listening on the TV. And they said, you know, it's so new and there's a parade going on and a fair. Nobody's going to come. Have you ever planned an evangelistic meeting and then worried that nobody would show up? Well, that's where they were at. But he said, no, let's have faith. Let's pray. He said, no one park in the church parking lot or in the Sunday church parking lot that they had permission to park in, but park across the street in the school parking lot. We'll save all this for our guests. And reluctantly, they did that. And it was so neat how God filled the place with over 200 guests. And the members had to stand. God is working in mighty ways right now. When people are home, they're listening to the TV. And we just ask for your prayers that you will pray that we'll have what we need to keep this going. But God is really blessing. Thank you so much, ASI.
Thank you, Julia, for sharing your passion of ASAP with us today.
Well, we're back now to the desk. You've seen three wonderful members in action. And oftentimes when we look at these things, we're just passive participants. But this is the time when you get to actually participate. And as much as you've enjoyed the members in action, we hope that that will translate into action with your going to your checkbooks, unless your wallets are stuffed with bills with several zeros after them. Please reach for your checkbooks as we go through the members in action, the offerings that we will be collecting. Our offering goal is $65,000, and the overflow will go to New Beginnings, the Pictorial Project, and the One Day Projects as well. And I hope that many of you were able to see the ministries that will be funded. We began showing them yesterday, but we'll go through for you again. The first one on our list is Ouachita Hills. Ouachita Hills is a self-supporting institution that has an academy and also has a college. And I really believe in self-supporting institutions, particularly education. And it's nice because they're expanding. The funds that you give them will be used for floor covering materials for an addition of an administration and classroom buildings on their campus. So please give generously for this project. Also NAPS, the National Association for the Prevention of Starvation. These young people give their heart and soul in ministry into the underprivileged all over the world, but also in the United States of America, and specifically in Alabama and Mississippi. The funds that you give will be used for them to build a 2,400 square foot dormitory to teach and train medical missionary students. And you know, there's a lot in the news about the underserved populations, the forgotten ones of our country. So I pray that this ministry will also inspire you. And now Rodney will go to you to share with us a couple more of these offerings in action.
The next project that we are going to focus on is Farm Stew. And we heard an amazing interview just this morning. The funds that are given to this project will go to provide for four motorcycles for the Farm Stew trainers throughout Africa to take these eight principles of health that will help prevent hunger, disease, and poverty. And it will promote self-reliance. The fourth project that we will look at is ASAP, Advocates for Southeast Asians and the Persecuted. The money that is given here will be going specifically to help assist and disciple Karen refugees in the Lake Union Conference.
And now our fifth ministry is Creation Illustrated. And Creation Illustrated is a great publication. It has been going on for several years, and obviously we had a Sabbath school discussion on creation. How powerful is that? That's our fifth ministry. The sixth one is Red River Outpost Center. It's a lifestyle center in Kentucky, and they are going to be having medical missionaries that will do home remedies. There'll be a lifestyle center. They'll have a bakery and help people with a proper plant-based diet. This ministry is in need of a van to house 8 to 10 people riding, and also to haul inventory and goods. And we pray that this will be a ministry that will also touch your heart.
The next one is Build and Restore Ministry. Build and Restore has proven to be a very powerful ministry around the world, and the funds that will be given for this are specifically to help renovate an Adventist church and a school in the villages along the Amazon River. The other one is from one of our members in action just this morning, Kibidula Farms, which is a tremendous organization and institution that provides training and health to people all throughout Africa, specifically in Tanzania. And so the funds that will be given today are going to help go toward the irrigation project for the large avocado farm on the institution.
Our ninth project is Amazon Lifesavers. And this is a ministry that you saw this morning. The funds will be used to operate their boats, which are used to deliver healthcare and services to isolated communities along the Amazon jungles of Brazil. And they also hope to place Bible workers and plant churches in unreached areas. The 10th ministry is the Center for Online Evangelism. We just heard a wonderful Members in Action. We do not know how long we'll be on lockdown. This may go on for a long time, and it's really incumbent on us to be able to share Christ effectively on an electronic platform. And so the Center for Online Evangelism will equip conferences and churches and individuals in order for them to conduct evangelism online. I know that my co-host, Rodney Bowes, is involved in online evangelism, and we've benefited from that during this time of lockdown and uncertainty. And those are the ministries that are listed. We'll now go to Rodney for the ministries that will be funded from our overflow offering.
Now, I'm really hoping that our overflow is truly an abundance, because we are going to be focusing on three specific projects that I am very passionate about and hope that you can be as well. We have the New Beginnings Project. We are going to be refreshing this. We're in the middle of this project, and so part of the money will be going to help the New Beginnings get a new and fresh look. The other part of the overflow will be going specifically for the Picture Roll Project. And as I mentioned before, we have 3,000 picture rolls that are currently being distributed. They're in ships right now on their way to different parts of the world. One shipment going to Brazil, and the other one is going to Papua New Guinea. And finally, the third overflow project is going specifically for the one-day church project. There have been more than 5,700 of these structures that have been built over the years, and we hope that we can continue this powerful ministry to provide places of worship for our brothers and sisters around the world.
Amen. Thank you, Rodney. I want to just make an appeal that you search your hearts and really ask the Lord what He will have you give. We have two examples in Scripture of what giving is all about. One is in the Old Testament. These are going to be quite unusual to you. But Moses, when the Lord was going to start over with a new people, he said he'd rather die if they were not going to be able to live. My favorite Bible character is the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul also said something extremely interesting in Romans 9. I want to read to you from Romans 9, verse 3. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul would rather die than have his fellow Jews, his Jewish brethren, be lost. My prayer is that we would rather be lost if only we can save our neighbors, save our friends or co-workers, and everyone across the globe. I know that it's in Jesus' heart that not one of us will be lost. And I pray that as you search your hearts this morning, the Lord will speak to you and that your wallets will be freed up of self and clinging to them. And I pray this very sincerely. We're going to be hearing a wonderful song next from Denise Barclay, My Jesus, I Love Thee. And as we hear this song, please contemplate sincerely how the Lord will use you in this time of ministry.
For thee, all the foes.
Again, our goal for the offering for these 10 projects is $65,000. And these projects are going to impact the world for Jesus Christ. Yeah. We want to give you three different ways that you can donate today. The first one that has already been on the screen, which is going to asiministries.org/donate, or there's a donate button right there on our homepage. Good. The second way that you can help us is by mailing in a check. If you prefer to do that, our mailing address is right there on our website as well. And the third way is to call our office next week, and you can make your donation at that time.
I'm going to invite you to join me in prayer. But before we pray, I'd like to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and I'm going to read beginning in verse 13. This is the Lord speaking to Solomon. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to their prayers in this place. Will you please bow your heads with me? Our loving Heavenly Father, our hearts are full, and we are so thankful today for the blessing of worshiping you in freedom on this holy Sabbath day. From time eternity past, you've looked forward to each Sabbath where your family joins together around the world to commune with you and to receive the special blessings that you have for us. I thank you and praise you especially for this weekend where we've taken time aside to think about the final warning message that you have for our world. And I pray, Lord, that as you promised in Revelation 18:1, that the earth will be lightened with the glory of God, that you will fulfill your word in accordance to your promise. But today on my heart is also the realization that you've told us our condition. We are miserable. We're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. But I thank you, you have not left us without a remedy. So I pray that you will please provide that gift of faith, the gold, the faith, even if it's tried in the fire. I pray for the garment of your righteousness and for the eye salve to enable us to discern and see as you would have us to. I thank you so much for hearing us and answering our prayer today, and I pray that you will bless our speaker and all those who are hearing, that this message will go around the world, and that you can soon return to claim us as your own. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
So our speaker today is very familiar to all of us, Elder Ted Wilson, President of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Yes, what a privilege it is to know that Jesus truly is our friend, that Jesus is someone that we love intensely. My Jesus, I love thee. What a privilege to be part of God's last day remnant church. What an opportunity to proclaim the message in a powerful way. You, as ASI members, in this spring meeting, this virtual spring meeting, I know God is going to bless you immensely. What an opportunity to also help people in this very unusual time, this pandemic. The coronavirus, COVID-19 pandemic has been an unusual situation. It has been an unprecedented situation in that the entire world, more or less, has been shut down for a period of time. What an opportunity now when people are awakened to God's great news that he is coming soon, when they are awakened to something beyond just the normal, that you and I have the privilege of being able to share with them an amazing opportunity of knowing Christ and knowing his soon coming. You see, ASI is a marvelous organization, an organization that brings together people of dynamic qualities, people who love Jesus intensely. You see, your theme, the three angels' messages in times like these, is so appropriate because the three angels' messages proclaim the righteousness of Christ, proclaim a last day warning, and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And so it's a real privilege to be able to address you at this spring meeting of the ASI organization. Thank you to each of you for what you are doing in a powerful way all across the North American division and around the world. And thank you to those of you who are involved in such dynamic ways, helping to understand that God is using you in these critical last day times. Yes, it is an opportunity to know what God had intended for us to be at this point. Some of you have heard the presentation now. What could have been, what God intended through his precious servant Ellen White, explaining to us that God wants the best for us and that he really wanted to come long before now. But what an opportunity for you and for me to be part of the last day movement that is just before Christ's return, living in the tips of the toes of the statue of Daniel chapter 2, helping us to understand that truly God has placed us here for a particular purpose. And he is calling upon you in ASI to fill in every gap possible so that you can be able to reach people in times like these. Messages of hope and encouragement, messages from God's word, messages from your experience. Yes, truly, Jesus in the marketplace, for that is what ASI is. And I believe personally that as the pandemic subsides, and it is starting to do that, we're going to have a period of perhaps 6 to 9 months where we're going to be able to proclaim with power to so many people who are asking so many questions. What a real opportunity for Jesus in the marketplace. Yes, the three angels' messages in these precious times like this. You see, God is offering you the opportunity to truly understand that it is well with my soul when I am connected with Christ. And all the way my Savior leads me. What an opportunity for us to join not only in singing that, but in proclaiming it in our words and our actions. You know, it's a marvelous situation that God has put us in at this particular time. A time when people are going to be willing to listen beyond the normal situation. Now, what is the new normal? We're going to find out. But I want to tell you something. It's going to be an unusual time when the Holy Spirit is going to lead people in a dramatic way, helping them to fully understand better the precious prophetic word of God and how to live in order to attract people to Jesus. You see, this marvelous experience that we're going through right now is opening hearts all around the world. The Holy Spirit is moving in a dramatic way, even though I do not believe that God is the originator of all of the difficulty and the challenges that the pandemic has produced. But God uses these opportunities to open hearts, to bring people into a recognition that they need something larger than themselves. You see, I believe, as you do, Jesus is coming soon. And as our general conference theme, which is now being postponed until 2021 because of the pandemic, the theme is Jesus is coming, get involved. That's where the three angels' messages come in. those powerful messages which we have been commissioned to share with the world. You see, in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, we find those exciting and powerful messages which help us to better understand what our true mission is. That beautiful first message in verse 6 and going on through verse 7, helping us to understand that, yes, we are to fear God and give glory to Him, but the everlasting gospel is that which we are to proclaim. Fearing God simply means showing great respect to Him and showing our admiration and love for Him. Why? Because the hour of His judgment has come. We are living in the very end of time. Is the pandemic the final crisis? No. Is it one of the last seven plagues? No. But it is just a precursor to what is going to happen, because things are going to happen, as we are told in the spirit of prophecy, rapidly. The final movements will be rapid ones. That's why it is so important for the three angels' messages in times like these, because we are living in the very end of time. And so that marvelous judgment has come. And the Lord is saying, give glory to God, because He made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water. You see, one of the greatest challenges today, especially in the academic world and in the secular world, is that there is no creator. The earth has evolved, and we are evolving to something better. I want to ask the question, has COVID-19 helped us to evolve into something better from a humanistic standpoint? No, it's only shown that we are very feeble and in great need of a creator and a recreator, a redeemer, someone who will come to take us home. And then it goes on in that second angel telling us that Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, representing confusion, representing that papal authority that has taken over the world during a period of time and has brought people to their knees because they had no access to the Word of God. Babylon has fallen. And now Babylon is being resurrected. People are looking more and more to religious leaders and to political leaders. In fact, who would have guessed that during this pandemic, we would have been sequestered in our homes and told we would have to stay there or to stay out of public circulation? Who would have even imagined that just a few weeks ago? Interestingly, that can begin to connect to all kinds of challenges for the future. And I am not predicting anything, but I want to tell you, these kinds of things can help to lay the foundation for other proclamations that we know in Scripture will be very pointed and will curtail the religious freedom of those who want to worship according to their conscience. What a realization that when we understand this particular understanding of Babylon is fallen, that we begin to fully understand how religious leaders from other faiths who are not following the Bible completely will put into action those things which will promote something completely opposite to the first angel's message, proclaiming that Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, God, created this earth. And what is that? The beautiful Sabbath day, the seventh day, the seventh day on which we worship the Creator. And that very aspect will be used against God's people and against God Himself to establish another universal false day of worship. And so the third angel comes in and proclaims in a powerful way, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receive his mark on his forehead or on his hand. You see, we're not to be receiving the mark of the beast, which is an understanding of a false application of what God intended for his people to have as the seal of God. For the seventh day Sabbath is a sign of God's authority. And when people try to counter that and set in operation something much different, that three angels' messages' power is shown in a dramatic way, because the third angel helps us to understand truly that there is a false understanding of who is in authority. It is not a human authority. It is not some church authority outside of God's precious people, whom God has placed his hand upon because they are sealed. They are the people who love Jesus and who keep his commandments, those who have the testimony of Christ. You see, that is God's precious seal upon his people. And when we understand then that in the third angel's message, it says, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. You see, God is asking for us to receive the seal of God and not the mark of the beast. Well, we're not going to be explaining in great detail further on this particular subject, because you will probably be studying it yourself and you will be hearing messages in very specific ways upon this. But I want to tell you the three angels' messages, worshiping God because he created, realizing that Babylon is fallen, that confusion has reigned, and that we are not to be part of that confusing situation, all of this points to one thing, and that is the righteousness of Jesus Christ and his power to save, not the power of institutions that are humanly devised. For righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, is the core of the three angels' messages. And what a message it is in times like these. You know, in the spirit of prophecy, we read a marvelous explanation about the three angels' messages. And it says in Testimonies, Volume 9, page 19, I encourage you to look at the testimonies. They're marvelous. Just recently, I've been looking at Volume 7, which has such an array of incredible material for each of us, including things about the publishing house and about city work and about all kinds of things. I encourage you to look at it, including health reform and good living, which of course is so important during this pandemic situation. But it says here in Volume 9 of the Testimonies and page 19, in a special sense, Seventh-day Adventists have been set in the world as watchmen and light bearers. Now that includes all of us, and especially those of you in ASI who are participating in Jesus in the marketplace, proclaiming the three angels' messages in your own setting. What an opportunity in times like these. And it says there, to them, Seventh-day Adventists, to ASI members, has been entrusted the last warning for a perishing world. On them is shining wonderful light from the Word of God. Can you imagine how people might look at you in your business, in your profession, in your activities, in supporting ministries, and they see this unusual light that is shining on you from the Word of God? They have been given a work of the most solemn import.
the proclamation of the first, second, and third angels' messages. Now, get this last sentence. They are to allow nothing else to absorb their attention. What an opportunity for us to refocus our attention as Seventh-day Adventists on the three angels' messages in times like these. Now, in order for us to really proclaim this message, these messages, these three angels' messages, and especially the third angel, to help people to understand fully the alliance and connection that they must have with God's truth and with God Himself as opposed to a false truth, God intends for us to live powerful lives in a practical religious experience that helps people to fully understand who we are and what God wants to do through us in proclaiming His marvelous word in times like these. In the wonderful book of Romans, we read in the beginning chapters of Romans the amazing opportunity of how we can access our spiritual connection with the Lord through the power of what Christ has done for us. Basically, in the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul is developing this amazing theology, this amazing relational understanding of how we are saved by grace and by our connection to Jesus Christ. In chapter 12, he begins to develop a very personal, practical approach as to how you and I can live in this world and be part of proclaiming those three angels' messages. You see, in order to proclaim these messages in a powerful way, you have to be connected with the Lord in a practical way every day. As we all know, we must spend time with God's Word. We must spend time reading the instructions of the Spirit of Prophecy. We must take time in praying for specific things. Just this morning, I was praying in a very specific way for certain things that are heavy on my heart. And I know that God has used you today to pray in a powerful way for those things which are affecting you and those things around you. Prayer is so vital. It is our connection, our key to unlocking the storehouse of heaven's blessings. And then we need to share with others. What an opportunity to share the message, the three angels' messages in times like these. Well, the Lord calls for us to have a living connection with Him, a life of Holy Spirit power, being justified by Christ's righteousness, being sanctified by Christ's righteousness. And don't forget, the very core of the three angels' messages is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And as we understand this, we can fully recognize that our words and our actions are so important as we present to others the Word of God, both in a living way, practical, as well as in Bible study and in sharing God's words. Let me just share a few interesting comments from the book Christian Service, where it says on page 40, and this is a kind of an indictment on all of us as we think about how we are to proclaim these three angels' messages. There are moral icebergs in our churches. Now, we've just come out of wintertime in the northern hemisphere, and yes, it's been cold. In fact, it's been an unusually cool spring, at least in parts of the United States. But it says there are moral icebergs in our churches. I don't want anyone to enter a Seventh-day Adventist church and feel like they have entered into some kind of iceberg and a setting where everyone is cold. Let them be warm and vibrant. Goes on to say, there are plenty of formalists who can make an imposing display but cannot shine as lights in the world. Christians should be preparing, on page 41, Christians should be preparing for what is soon to break upon the world as an overwhelming surprise. And this preparation they should make by diligently studying the Word of God and striving to conform their lives to its precepts. What an opportunity we have had to dig into the Word of God during this sequestered situation where we have had to stay at home, so to speak. What an opportunity now to share this message in a powerful way. Then it says, a revival of true godliness among us is the greatest and most urgent of all our needs. To seek this should be our first work. And then the Lord can use you in proclaiming those three angels' messages, which we just read not long ago, that nothing else should absorb our attention except for those powerful, wonderful messages. You see, the Lord gives very practical instruction in the 12th chapter of Romans. And I want to just spend a few moments in the remaining part of our time together here in your ASI spring meeting, focusing on the amazing last portion of Romans chapter 12. It says here in Romans verse 9 of chapter 12, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. As we go into this post-COVID setting, you as ASI members, with Jesus in the marketplace concept and motto, will fully understand how God is going to use you to touch the lives of people, to help them to see that they need to cling to that which is good and put away that which is evil. In verse 10, it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. You see, it's an amazing opportunity for each of us to show in a practical way the amazing love of Christ working through us. Because the sanctifying process, after we understand our justifying relationship, the sanctifying process takes place and we are able to share that love. The Word of God is shining on us in a marvelous way, and through us, God intends to show what true Christian love is all about. And as I said, perhaps we have 6, 9 months, I don't know how long, the Lord will use us in a marvelous way to touch the lives of people. In verse 11, it says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, be a diligent person, a person studying God's word, a person understanding your role in the very end of time, and then serving the Lord. God intends for you to focus on His Word, to understand the precious messages in the spirit of prophecy that help us to fully understand our role in these last days in transmitting Bible truth to neighbors, to friends, to those who are interested in the workplace or wherever it might be. And then verse 12 tells us, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Now, I know that many of you are placed in very stressful situations. You're not sure exactly how to relate to certain situations that you might be facing. And God is asking you, under these difficult circumstances, and all of us find ourselves in those circumstances. I mean, I have to tell you, I find myself in very challenging situations many times. My only recourse is to lean completely on Jesus, to ask the Lord to fully fill me with the wisdom that only comes from heaven, claiming James 1:5 and asking God. I have to tell you, there's hardly a day that goes by when I drop to my knees in the morning out of bed and I claim James 1:5. I ask for wisdom essentially all the time. Every morning and throughout the day at times when I am needing God's special injunction in all that I'm doing. We need to be asking the Lord for that wisdom and being patient in tribulation and praying often. Be in a spirit of prayer all the time, distributing to the needs of the saints, verse 13. Given to hospitality, sharing what we have. Don't circle the wagons, so to speak. Don't be a fortress mentality. Be someone open and being willing to share God's precious word. Those three angels' messages, sharing them not as a battering ram or something that is so negative, but the righteousness of Christ being the core of those three angels' messages, helping people to turn back to the true worship of God, helping people to understand the fullest opportunity possible for them to know Jesus and to be prepared for his very, very soon coming. And then it goes on to give us very practical instruction, verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. The normal earthly tendency is to get back at somebody, curse those people, get even with those people. But the Bible doesn't tell us to do that. It says to bless those who curse us. And then it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Just this morning, I was listening to an amazing account in Testimonies, Volume 1. And when I walk, and I try to walk fairly often, get some exercise, you know, that'll help build our immune system and keep us healthy. And I'm going through Volume 1 of the Testimonies, listening to it. And as I was listening today, it was an amazing thing about how self and how our own personal opinions, how we as human beings are so focused upon our own pride and our ability that we miss the opportunity of being completely humble and putting ourselves before Jesus fully. And I just want to state that personally, I want to humble myself. And I hope you, as an ASI member, will be completely humbling yourself before the Lord. Because it says here that we should not be wise in our own opinion, but we should humble ourselves, essentially. And then it says in verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men, if it is possible, as much as depends on you. Now, Paul just is really making this point. I really want you to try and do this. By God's grace, open your thinking to this, he's saying. Live peaceably with all men. What an opportunity for us in the next few months to show Christ's amazing love and righteousness and the three angels' messages to those who are waiting for answers post-COVID. And then, of course, verse 19 says that vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you're going to heap coals of fire on his head. In other words, this person will be so confused, so chastised, because you are showing the exact opposite of what he would expect or she would expect. And by doing so, you will melt their hearts. They will become truly willing to listen to the amazing three angels' messages, helping them to understand Christ and his righteousness. And then the final verse is such a marvelous one. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What a beautiful encapsulation of the amazing love of Christ, which is his righteousness, which is the core of the three angels' messages, pointing people away from human self-centered ideas and helping all to understand that it is only in Jesus that we can truly have our eternal connection, that truly the seal of God is that which each of us should have, which is exemplified by our wonderful, humble keeping of the seventh day Sabbath as a beautiful tribute to the power of God to change our lives, to completely control us. We don't earn salvation by keeping the Sabbath. We keep the Sabbath because the Lord has taken control of our lives and has helped us to find that Christ, our righteousness, is the core of those beautiful three angels' messages. I'd like to just share with you a beautiful quotation again from Christian Service. Actually, this comes from Testimonies, Volume 7, page 270. But in Christian Service, page 78, we are nearing the close of this earth's history. We have before us a great work, the closing work of giving the last warning message to a sinful world. God is calling you and me to be part of a last day proclamation. Listen to this, the message of Christ soon coming. Again, in Christian Service, page 83, the message of Christ soon coming is to be given to all the nations of the earth. Vigilant, untiring effort is required to overcome the forces of the enemy. Our part is not to sit still and weep and wring our hands, but to arise and work for time and for eternity. The three angels' messages in times like these, your opportunity to be God's hands and his feet in preparing people for the climactic event of Jesus' very, very soon coming. God asks you, as you prepare to proclaim these messages, to be connected with him in every possible way. There's an interesting form of hiking that takes place in certain parts of the world, and notably in the Alps, in Switzerland, and perhaps some other places. And it is called by a particular name, which is Via Ferrata, which is an Italian term, which means iron way. And also in German, they call it Klettersteig. But it is more well known probably by Via Ferrata. And in certain places, and I think probably there was some connection with the military and all of that and trying to be prepared for activities, they have cables in the mountains. They have special ladders that you can climb that will take you in certain directions, help you to overcome obstacles. But you must be clipped in. You must be connected in some way. Now, I remember hiking and climbing in Switzerland some time ago. I like to climb there when I have opportunity. It's a marvelous place in the Alps to simply allow the beauty of God's nature to fill your heart and fully give you a picture of what heaven will be like. At least a little glimpse. And I enjoy hiking. I enjoy mountain climbing. I went down to the central office of the tourist bureau in Grindelwald, Switzerland. And we were staying in that general area. And I went down there and I was able to get a special vest that you could wear. And on that vest were some clips. Now, these clips, you could clip in to the side of a particular ladder as you were climbing. And you would have to have two sides of this particular vest so that you would clip in to these as you climbed up these ladders, these metal ladders. Let me tell you, you have to have, you know, pretty good focus. You can't be too faint of heart because you look down and there are hundreds of feet down there and you're just kind of hanging on with your strength, but you're clipped in to the ladder. And as you also walk along on these narrow pathways, you can clip in to the cables. And you can be secure because you are clipped in to something secure. What an opportunity when you get up to the top of those mountains, after you have been clipped in and protected, to then get a beautiful view and to realize that God has an eternity for us to spend with Him. A beautiful vista of what He expects in our lives and how we are to be able to connect with Him in these times to proclaim the three angels' messages. Well, I want to encourage all of you as you participate in the ASI spring meeting to realize that God has a special work for you to do. But He wants you in a powerful way to be able to take His word and to clip in to every source of power possible for the coming days, for we are living in the very end of time. Yes, Jesus is coming soon. And so I want to ask you to take God's precious word. I want to ask you to take those things that help you to study God's word. I want to ask you to take the wonderful instruction in the spirit of prophecy and to include that in your daily activities. All those things that you have on your prayer list, include them in your connection with the Lord. And God will help you in a powerful way to proclaim His word as you clip in to His powerful and wonderful word of God. As you clip in to the reading of the Spirit of prophecy, as you clip in to using prayer in a powerful way so that God will use you, as you clip in and connect with the Lord in the marvelous and wonderful opportunity of sharing His word with others, God will use you in ASI in an unprecedented way to truly present Jesus in the marketplace. May God bless each one of you in ASI as you lift up Christ, His righteousness, His wonderful sanctuary message, His three angels' messages, His message of health reform, His messages that bring us to the foot of the cross. And may He truly help you to know that there is a fountain filled with blood that is provided for each one of us. And as Pastor John Loma Cain sings that beautiful song, let it touch your heart in a powerful way. Let me pray with you before Pastor Loma Cain sings that song. Father in heaven, we ask in a very special way that you will come close to our ASI members and to all members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church as they take up their rightful position in proclaiming the three angels' messages with Holy Spirit power, and the fourth angel of Revelation 18 to come out of confusion and into a complete understanding in these times. Such a time as this, Lord, an opportunity for us to truly be part of God's last day proclamation. Bless the ASI organization and everyone involved. We thank you for hearing us and the promise of your soon coming, and make us more and more like Jesus as we fulfill the practical application of truly being those who follow our Lord and Savior and point people to Jesus' soon coming. We ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
There. a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there
blessing we have received today. We don't even need food. We've had spiritual food. I want to just sum this up with a quote that Elder Wilson mentioned in his talk. It's found in Nine Testimonies, page 19, paragraph 1 and 2. In a special sense, Seventh-day Adventists have been set in the world as watchmen and light bearers. To them has been entrusted the last warning for a perishing world. On them is shining a wonderful light from the Word of God. They have been given a work of the most solemn import, the proclamation of the first, second, and third angels' messages. There is no other work of so great importance. They are not to allow anything else to absorb their attention. The most solemn truths ever entrusted to mortals have been given to us to proclaim to the world. The proclamation of these truths is to be our work. Patty, what does that mean to you?
Well, it's just an amazing privilege we have of living in this time in Earth's history, and it's an awesome responsibility.
Amen. Rodney, how about you? How does this touch you?
The whole sermon was so powerful, and I took a lot of notes. I was very busy while he was writing, and one of the things that really impacted me was to refocus mm-hmm. on the three angels' messages. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is so critical for the time in which we live. We don't know how much more time we're going to have before probation closes. Yes. And so it's definitely something that's worth our prayerful attention. There was something I wrote down I wanted to share. In order to share powerfully, we must connect with God practically.
Amen.
Did you notice that as
Amen.
Well?
Yes.
It was so encouraging for that. Praise God.
Wonderful. We also collected an offering, and we pray that you responded and that the Lord really spoke to your heart. Rodney, why don't you remind our viewers how they can donate for the ministries that were described?
Definitely. I would be happy to. So again, our offering appeal was for 10 different projects. Our goal is $65,000. You can just go to asiministries.org/virtual/projects. And that is where you can read more about those projects. And then you can also donate there as well. And as we conclude this segment, we're going to do so with a special prayer. So please bow your heads with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Jesus Christ. We are so thankful for the three angels' messages. Lord, forgive us, for we have neglected to share this with the world. Please help us to refocus, to be connected with Jesus Christ all the time.
Amen.
We do ask for forgiveness and for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which, as we know, is our greatest need. Please bless us, I do ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
I would like to encourage everyone to come back for our afternoon program at 4 p.m. It is going to be powerful as we conclude our conference together.
Amen. Amen.